يقوموا بالعلم الشرعي وتنشره، ثم نشكر ولاة أمور هذه البلاد الذين يسروا لنا حضور هذه الدروس العلمية والمجالس النافعة، وبشكل خاص دائرة الشؤون الإسلامية والعمل الخيري بدبي، ونشكر مشايخنا حفظهم الله ورعاهم الذين أسدوا إلينا أوقاتهم الثمينة وكلماتهم الغالية لإيصال العلم النافع لأبنائهم وإخوانهم، كما نشكر الوالد خليفة بن ضاعن المهيري وأبنائه على بذلهم الخير ونشرهم المعروف، فجزاهم الله عنا خير الجزاء. شكر الله لمن كتب هذا وتقبل منه دعاءه، وشكر الله له أيضا هذا الصنيع. وهذا الحديث عظيم، وللفائدة فإن أهل العلم قد ذكروا في ضبط هذا الحديث أوجها، فقالوا: لا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس على النصب، ولا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس، ولا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس، ولا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس. راجعوها وانظروا في توجيه هذه المعاني، وفق الله الجميع. نعم.
So the Sheikh began praising Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, beseeching Allah to send us salat and salam for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, all together. The Sheikh, he said that we would like to thank all of those who participated in putting together the likes of these Dawrat. Likewise, at the head of them is those who are in charge of this blessed land. We ask Allah to make it blessed and beneficial. Likewise, we ask Allah to bestow his favor and his blessing upon Sheikh Walid Khalifa bin Dutton. May Allah Ta'ala heal him, and may Allah Ta'ala bring about benefit by way of him and reward him with a tremendous reward for that which he has put forth, noble efforts. And indeed, the scholars he have mentioned, and likewise the mashayikh that are speaking in this dawrah, we would like to thank them as well. And the scholars, they have mentioned guidelines for the narration. This is a hadith, the one who has not thanked the people is not, he mentions that he is not thankful to Allah Ta'ala. And the scholars have mentioned that, you know, the narration is said a number of ways. It is said, La yashkur Allahu, and that Allah Ta'ala will not, you know, show gratitude to this person who does not show gratitude to the people. Then they mentioned, La yashkur Allaha, that Allah Ta'ala, that he is not grateful to Allah Ta'ala. And both recitations are sound and correct.
طيب، نعود بارك الله فيكم إلى الكتاب الذي بين أيدينا. ابتدأ المصنف رحمه الله، أو أكمل المصنف بعد ذلك، القول في أمر الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم، فقال: والترحم على أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كلهم، فإن الله عز وجل قال: والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان. قال: فلن يؤمن إلا بالاستغفار لهم، لن يؤمن إلا بالاستغفار لهم. ثم قال: فمن سبهم أو تنقص أحد منهم فليس على السنة وليس له في الفيء حق. هذه المسألة، مسألة متعلقة بالصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم، لها مباحث كثيرة عند أهل السنة والجماعة. فمن أصول أهل السنة والجماعة التي خالف فيها أهل السنة أهل الضلال والبدع أنهم يترضون عن الصحابة جميعا ولا يطعنون في أحد منهم، ولا يحملون له حقدا ولا غلا ولا كراهية ولا بغضا، بل يحبون جميع الصحابة ويترضون عن جميع الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. نعم.
So the Shaykh, he mentioned that the author, he goes on to mention some of the affairs connected to the companions. And so he said, and asking Allah's mercy for the companions, peace be upon him, the kind of Muhammad alayhi salam. And surely Allah Ta'ala, he has mentioned, those who come after them say, our Lord forgive us and our brethren who have preceded us in faith. He says, so now the author, he goes into this the study of the affair of the companions. And this is an extremely important issue. He says that he highlights the fact that one is not a believer unless he takes istighfar for the Sahaba. He asks Allah forgiveness for the Sahaba. He does not refuse, he does not revile them or abuse them or speak ill of them. And this is from the usul of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in which they differ with the people of Dalal and people of innovation, right? That they seek pleasure or they seek Allah's pleasure upon all of the companions. They don't hate them, they don't have disdain for them, they don't dislike them, they don't have hate for them. Rather, they love all of the companions and they supplicate to Allah Ta'ala to have mercy and to be pleased with all of the Sahaba.
منا التعريف بالصحابي. الصحابي عند أهل العلم من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مؤمنا به ومات على ذلك، وإن تخللته ردة على الصحيح. من لقي النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، لأن هناك من الناس من لم يلقى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وآمن به في زمنه فلا يسمى صحابيا، وهناك من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يؤمن به فلا يسمى صحابيا، وإن آمن به بعد موته عليه الصلاة والسلام. يعني لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يؤمن به، فلما مات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم آمن، فإن هذه الرؤية لا اعتبار لها في المصطلح الشرعي، وإن يموت على ذلك، يعني وإن تخللته ردة على الصحيح معنى ذلك، وإن حصلت منه ردة لكنه رجع بعد ذلك إلى الإسلام مثل طلحة بن خويلد مثلا، فإنه مات بعد ذلك شهيدا في المعارك في سبيل الله فيما نحسبه والله حسيبه. نعم.
So now we must define what is a companion. This term companion, a Sahabi, is one who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believed in him, and died upon that iman, even if that was disturbed by ridda based upon or apostasy based upon the most correct definition. He says, so therefore, it just excludes those individuals who did not meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his lifetime and then believed after him. They are not considered to be excuse me, those who met the Prophet, did not meet the Prophet, even though they were alive during his lifetime, and even though they believed in him, they are not a companion. He says, similarly, those who met him but didn't believe until after he passed away, then these people likewise are not companions. He says, so if a person were to have seen him and been in his presence but didn't believe until after he passed away, this seeing him in this instance, it has no merit in terms of suhbah, even though this person may be a person of virtue. Such as Talha ibn Khuwaylid, for example. He was someone who met the Prophet alayhi salam, but didn't believe in him until after he passed away, and he died as a shaheed in one of the battles based upon what we believe concerning him.
يا إخوة، أن السب إنما مورده وسببه البغض، إذ لا يمكن أن يقع أحد في الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم إلا بخبيئة قبيحة في قلبه، وهذا يدل على سوء مسلكه وعلى قبح طريقته وعلى انحرافه عن الصراط المستقيم. نعم.
So this revilement of the companions, ayyuhal-ikhwa, is something which the reason for it is having hatred inside of one's heart. It does not emanate from an individual, except that this person has he has an ugly heart. He has an ugly heart, and is the result of his deviation and the evil of his methodology and the way that he is upon.
ومنهم الطحاوي الحنفي رحمه الله قال: وحبهم دين وإيمان، وبغضهم كفر ونفاق وعصيان. وسيأتي تفصيل أحوال ساب الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. نعم.
It says that it's mentioned by the ulama from them, At-Tahawi rahimahullah, Al-Hanafi, that love for the Sahaba is deen and iman, and hatred for them is disbelief, it is nifaq, it is disobedience. And as it relates to revilement of the Sahaba, it has a number of different manifestations.
العلماء مع الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم، التقرير الأكيد بأن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم كلهم عدول، لا يبحث عن أحوالهم، فإذا نظرت في كتب رجال في كتب الرجال وكتب طبقات المحدثين لوجدتهم إنما يبحثون عمن هو بعد الصحابة، بعد الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. أما الصحابي فالمجهول عند العلماء كالمعلوم، لا يبحثون هل هو عدل أو ليس بعدل، فكلهم عدول رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. ولذلك قال ابن الصلاح رحمه الله للصحابة بأسرهم خصيصة، وهي أنه لا يسأل عن عدالة أحد منهم، لا يسأل عن عدالة أحد منهم. نعم.
So the Sahabas, the ulama mentioning concerning them, are such that all of them are trustworthy. So therefore, we don't look into the ahwal of the companions and see, okay, is this companion trustworthy or not? So due to this, you find in the books of Tabaqat that speaks about the levels of hadith narrators. And when we investigate their states and their conditions, we look after the status of the companions. As for the Sahaba, then the scholars have mentioned that the majhul amongst them, the one who's unknown amongst them, is like he is ma'lum, it's like he's known. Ibn Salah, he mentioned that the Sahabi, that they are, all such that all of them are considered to be trustworthy. So therefore, we don't ask about the trustworthiness of a companion, that they have khusisa, that they have a specific status, in Ibn Salah's statement.
سبهم فإنه عند أهل العلم على أحوال عدة. الحالة الأولى إذا كفر جميع الصحابة أو كفر غالبهم فإنه يكفر يخرج من ملة الإسلام. نعم.
So as it relates to the revilement of the Sahaba, then the scholars have mentioned it has a number of manifestations. The first manifestation of revilement is that one reviles them, but what will necessitate that all of them or most of them has disbelieved. This person himself has disbelieved according to the people's knowledge.
فسقهم أو فسق عامتهم فإن حكمه حكم الأول. نعم.
The second status or the second manner is that one reviles them with what will necessitate that they are fusaq, that they are wicked people. That this the ruling of this person is similar to the ruling of the first.
صحابيا واحدا لدينه كأن يسب أبا بكر أو أن يسب عمر لدينه فإن هذا أيضا يكفر بإجماع العلماء.
Next, the person reviles the companion for the sake of his deen. He reviles him with his deen, like one reviles Abu Bakr or reviles Umar. This person likewise occupies the same status as the first two.
العلماء عمن طعن في عائشة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها أن يطعن في عرضها فإنه كافر مكذب للقرآن.
Likewise, a person may revile, for example, Aisha. So a person reviles Aisha, what taking a shot at her honor. In the likes of this, this person likewise has disbelieved and belied what has come in the Quran.
سب لا يقدح في عدالتهم ولا في دينهم كأن يقول عن صحابي إن عنده بخل أو يقول عند أن ليس عنده علم أو نحو ذلك فإنه يعزر ويؤدب. قول هذا حرام لا شك فيه لكن لا يكفر به صاحبه وإنما يؤدب أو يعزر من قبل ولي الأمر. نعم.
Next, a person may revile a companion with not without something that indicate that he is untrustworthy, or reviling him in his deed. But rather, he says, for example, that his companion is stingy, or this companion has no knowledge. This person, he is yu'azzar, he is to be punished, and a punishment is to be implemented upon him by the ruler, of course. But he is not disbelieved. He's not disbelieved by way of that yet. He is to be punished by the ruler.
منزلة عظيمة لذلك أثنى الله جل وعلا عليهم قال والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. هذه منزلة عالية. قال جل وعلا وهو يحذر من مخالفة طريقتهم ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. نعم.
So the Sahaba, they occupy a tremendous status. They have a great station along with us. He says, for this reason, Allah Ta'ala, he has mentioned inside of his book, he says, indeed, those first and foremost ones to embrace Islam from Muhajirun and Ansar, and those who follow them with Ihsan. He says, it's the high status which they have. Likewise, Allah Ta'ala mentions warning against those who oppose their way, saying that indeed, whoever opposes the messenger after the clear path has been shown to him and follows the way other than the way of the believers, we shall keep him in the path he has chosen for himself and land him in the hellfire and what an evil destination this is.
وختاما لمبحث الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم فينبغي علينا أن نعرف حقهم علينا وحقوق الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم في الجملة 10 فعدوها معي. أولا محبتهم رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم، وثانيا اعتقاد فضلهم، وثالثا اعتقاد عدالتهم، ورابعا الاقتداء بهم، وخامسا ذكرهم بالجميل، وسادسا الشهود لهم إجمالا بالجنة وتعيينا لمن ورد فيه الحديث. أين وصلنا؟ سابعا ساد الآن 6. سابعا الدعاء والاستغفار لهم، وثامنا السكوت عما شجر بينهم رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم، وعاشرا بغض من يبغضهم وبغير الخير يذكرهم. 10 9. طيب قلنا المحبة، ها اعتقاد تفاضلهم، اعتقاد تفاضلهم رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. فأفضل الصحابة بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الخلفاء الأربعة، وأفضل الخلفاء الأربعة أبو بكر، ثم عمر، ثم عثمان، ثم علي، ثم هكذا يأتي ترتيب الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. نعم.
So in general, we must know, it is incumbent upon us to know the rights of the companions which they have upon us. And in general, the rights of the companion are 10 in number. So therefore, count them out along with us. Firstly, the first right is that we love them. The second right is that we believe in their virtue. The third right is that we believe in their trustworthiness. The fourth right is that we follow them. The fifth right is that we mention them with goodness. The sixth right is that we testify in general for the Sahaba, that they are in paradise, and more specifically, those Sahaba that are mentioned in the hadith. The seventh right is that we make dua to Allah to forgive them. Eighth right is that we remain silent regarding what occurred between them. The ninth right is that we hate those who hate them. And the tenth right is that we believe in the varying levels between them. So, for example, the best of the Sahaba are the Khulafa al-Arba, the four rightly guided Khulafa. And the best of them is Abu Bakr, and then Umar, then Uthman, and then Ali, in this sequence.
هذه العشرة. الجميع كتب، عطني واحدة باللغة الروسية.
Are you speaking to the Russian brothers, asking them to give them these 10 rights of the companions?
عطني واحدة.
And give me one of the 10 in the Russian language.
طيب، جزاكم الله خير. هذه الأمور العشرة احفظوها وبلغوا من وراءكم من أبنائكم ومن إخوانكم ومن آبائكم ومن أمهاتكم، لأن نشر فضل الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم هذا من محبتنا للدين. هم الذين نقلوا لنا القرآن، هم الذين نقلوا لنا السنة، هم الذين نقلوا لنا هذا الخير الذي نحن الآن جالسون فيه رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم.
So it is upon us to memorize these rights of the companions, and likewise teach them to our children, teach them to our brothers, teach them to our mothers and our wives. He says, because this is from love of the deen, and because the Sahaba are the ones who narrated to us the Quran, they are the ones who transmitted to us the Sunnah, they are the ones who brought to us this goodness that we're upon now. So it is incumbent upon us to have love for the companions.
حرمة سبهم قال أخبرنا بذلك غير واحد عن مالك بن أنس رضي الله عنه إمام دار الهجرة أنه قال قسم الله تعالى الفيء، فقال حينما قسم الله جل وعلا الفيء أي ما يكون من أمر المغنم، قال للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم، ثم قال بعد ذلك والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، هؤلاء الذين يقسم عليهم الفيء. قال فمن لم يقل هذا، من لم يترضى عن من قبله، لا يستحق شيء من الفيء، لأنه لا يدخل في قسمة الله جل وعلا لأهل الإيمان. نعم.
After mentioning this affair, the author goes on to mention that more than one individual has narrated to us that Malik ibn Anas said, it's the Imam of Dar al-Hijra, Imam Malik, they said that Allah has divided the fay, and the fay is wealth obtained from the non-Muslims without physical conflict, by saying, and there's also a share in this fay for the poor immigrants who were expelled from their homes. He said thereafter, and those who go after them say, our Lord, forgive us and our brethren who have preceded us in faith. That's the one who does not say this for them, I mean, the one that does not make taraddi and seek Allah's pleasure for them, he is not from those who will have a share in this faith.
الله وهو يطرق مسألة مهمة جدا من مسائل الاعتقاد، قال والقرآن كلام الله. هذه المسألة يذكرها أهل العلم في كتب الاعتقاد لما حصل من أهل الضلال والبدع من الجهمية والمعتزلة وغيرهم من مخالفة للحق فيها. نعم.
Thereafter, the author goes on to speak about a very important issue from the issues of creed. He said that the Quran is the speech of Allah. He says this issue, the scholars, they would mention it inside of their books of Aqidah due to what occurred from the deviations of the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila in this issue.
والصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم كانوا يقولون ومن جاء بعدهم كذلك من التابعين كانوا يقولون القرآن كلام الله لا يزيدون شيئا، لأن الله جل وعلا قال وإن أحد من المشركين استجارك فأجره حتى يسمع كلام الله. فلما جاء المخالفون وادعوا أن القرآن مخلوق، قال أهل العلم هنا لا بد، مخالفة لهذه البدعة ومضادة لهذه الضلالة، أن يقال القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق. نعم.
So the Sahaba, and likewise those who come after them from the Tabi'un, they used to say that the Quran is the speech of Allah and leave it at that. He said, based upon the statement of Allah Ta'ala, that one of them of the mushrikun seeks refuge with you, provide him refuge in order that he may hear the speech of Allah. So therefore, yeah, they would stop there. Yeah, however, if an individual were to come from the people of Bid'ah and say that the Quran is created, the scholars say it is a must that he be opposed in this innovation, and therefore that you say that the Quran is the speech of Allah, it is not created.
حينما عرف يا إخوة أهل العلم القرآن، كان أول ما قالوه هو كلام الله غير مخلوق، منه بدأ وإليه يعود، المنزل المعجز بلفظه، المبدوء المنقول بالتواتر، المبدوء بسورة الفاتحة والمختوم بسورة الناس. هذه حدود تعريف القرآن، ولكل جملة من هذه الجمل أدلتها من كتاب الله جل وعلا ومن سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم.
But when the scholars they define the Quran, then they would define it by way of saying that the Quran is the speech of Allah. It is not created. From Him it originated, and to Him it's going to return. And it is sent down by Allah Ta'ala. It is miraculous in its nature. It is reported by way of tawatur, transmitted by way of a successive transmission. It begins with Al-Fatiha. It ends with An-Nas. All of this is the definition which the ulama give for the Book of Allah, for the Quran. And each sentence inside of this definition has its own evidence, either from the Book of Allah or from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
ثم الكلام عن القرآن إنما يأتي اتباعا للكلام عن صفة الكلام، صفة الكلام لله جل وعلا. فأهل السنة يثبتون صفة الكلام لله جل وعلا، وأن الله له هذه الصفة، وهي صفة ذاتية فعلية، تكلم سبحانه وتعالى في الأزل ويتكلم يوم القيامة، وتكلم مع موسى، وتكلم مع آدم، وتكلم مع نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم، والقرآن من كلامه جل وعلا. نعم.
It says that the speech regarding the Quran being the speech of Allah Ta'ala, this comes after speech regarding the affair of kalam, and that it being an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ahlul Sunnah affirms the kalam as an attribute for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He speaks. It is an attribute that is dhatiyya and fi'liyya. It is an attribute of His essence and an action that He does. He says, and He always had the attribute of speech. And Allah Ta'ala, He will speak on the day of judgment. He spoke to Musa, He spoke to Adam, He spoke to our Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, and the Quran is from the speech of Allah Ta'ala.
والله الحروف والمعاني. القرآن كلام الله، حروفه ومعانيه، ولا يقال إن هذا كلام غيره، ولا يقال هو عبارة عن كلام الله، ولا يقال هو حكاية عن كلام الله، هو كلام الله على الحقيقة. نعم.
So Quran is the speech of Allah Ta'ala, its letters as well as its meanings. And it is not to be said that it is the speech of other than him, or that it is an ibarah or hikayah, a representation or a report of the speech of Allah Ta'ala. Rather, it is the speech of Allah in reality.
آيات التي تبين الفرق بين كلام الله جل وعلا وبين خلق الله سبحانه وتعالى، قوله جل وعلا: ألا له الخلق والأمر. الخلق خلقه والأمر هو كلامه جل وعلا.
So there are many ayat that show the difference between the creation and the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned inside of his book, that for him is the creation and the command. So therefore the creation is the creation of Allah. And the command is the speech of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala.
لم يوفق الذين ذهبوا إلى نسبة القرآن لغير الله جل وعلا، منهم من قال هذا هو كلام جبريل، ومنهم من قال هو قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، واستدلوا بقول الله جل وعلا: إنه لقول رسول كريم. طيب يا إخوة، إنه لقول رسول كريم كم جاءت في القرآن؟ في موضع أم أكثر؟ ها، في موضعين. ما الموضع الأول؟ إنه لقول رسول كريم، وما هو بقول شاعر؟ ما المراد به هنا؟ الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. إنه لقول رسول كريم ذي قوة عند ذي العرش. من هو؟ جبريل. إذن هل يصح أن يقال له قائلا؟ فكان المراد إنه لقول، أي المبلغ عن الله جل وعلا، وليس المحدث للكلام، ليس المتكلم به بداية أو ابتداء، إنما المبلغ عن الله جل وعلا جبريل، والمبلغ إلى أمة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام.
So therefore, yani, we do not hold it to be the speech of other than Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Those who do, and the statement of theirs is not given import. But from amongst them are those who say that it is the speech of Jibril. And amongst them are those who say that it is the speech of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they utilize the evidence, the statement of Allah Ta'ala, indeed it is the statement of a noble messenger. So this, yani, it comes, this statement, it comes a couple of times in the Quran. One time, Allah Ta'ala mentions that it is the statement of a noble messenger, and he is not a poet. So what is intended by this is the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then another time he mentions that he is not this is the statement of a noble messenger, owner of strength, close to the possession of the throne, and this is in reference to Jibril. And so therefore, what is intended by way of this is the conveyor of the speech and not the one who originally spoke with it. He says, so for example, the conveyor of the speech, it is Jibril. He conveyed the speech of Allah Ta'ala, and the conveyor of the speech to mankind thereafter is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the one who spoke with it originally is Allah Azza wa Jalla.
قال بعد ذلك: سمعت سفيان هو ابن عيينة يقول: القرآن كلام الله، ومن قال مخلوق فهو مبتدع، لم نسمع أحدا يقول هذا. أراد سفيان رحمه الله أنه مبتدع هذه البدعة المكفرة، إذ أجمع العلماء فيما ذكره الطبراني من أكثر من 500 عالم على كفر من قال هذه المقالة، وأيضا أشار إلى ذلك ابن قيم الجوزية رحمه الله. نعم.
So he mentions thereafter that I heard Sufyan ibn Uyayna say that the Quran is the speech of Allah. Whoever says it is created, he is an innovator. We have not heard anyone saying this statement. It says, so the intended meaning of Sufyan ibn Uyayna here is that this person is an innovator with a bid'ah that is mukafira. It takes the person outside the fold of Islam. He says, and the scholars have mentioned, yani, more than 150 ulama who all say that the one who says this is a disbeliever. And Ibn Qayyim has mentioned a similar statement.
نقلا آخر قال: وسمعت سفيان يقول، وعاد بنا هنا إلى المسألة السابقة وهي قضية الإيمان، قال: الإيمان قول وعمل ويزيد وينقص. فقال له أخوه إبراهيم ابن عيينة: يا أبا محمد لا تقل ينقص، يعني كأنه منكر عليه. فغضب سفيان ابن عيينة أبو محمد الهلالي وقال: أسكت يا صبي، يزجره عن إنكاره، بل حتى لا يبقى منه شيء، لا يبقى منه شيء، معنى ذلك أنه قد يقل الإيمان عند الشخص حتى يخرج من الإيمان. وأهل العلم يا إخوة هنا يعبرون بتعبيرين، منهم من يقول ينقص حتى لا يبقى منه إلا مثقال ذرة، ويريدون بذلك أنه يكون ضعيف الإيمان إلى حد كبير. وقد يقولون ينقص الإيمان حتى لا يبقى منه شيء، يريدون أنه أيضا ماذا، يضعف إيمانه حتى ربما يخرج من الإيمان إذا ارتكب ناقضا من نواقض الإيمان. نعم.
So thereafter, he transitions to speak regarding an important issue that is what is connected to Iman. So he said, I heard Sufyan, meaning Ibn Uyayna, saying that Iman is statement and action. It increases and it decreases. So thereafter, his brother, Ibrahim Ibn Uyayna, he said to him, oh, Abu Muhammad, don't say that it decreases, meaning he was objecting to what he had said. So Sufyan Ibn Uyayna, he became angry, meaning he censured and rebuked his brother, and he replied, be silent, young boy, rather it decreases until nothing remains of it at all. He says, so therefore, the scholars, they have two statements which they use in this regard. Some of them say that it decreases until there does not remain from it, except a dharra, like a very small amount, meaning that it weakens until it becomes extremely weak. And likewise, they say that it decreases until nothing remains from it, meaning nothing at all remains from one's iman, and perhaps he leaves the scope in the realm of al-iman if he commits a nullifier amongst nullifiers of al-Islam.
بعد ذلك: والإقرار بالرؤية بعد الموت. يعني سنختم إن شاء الله بهذه العبارة لن نطيل عليكم. الإقرار أي من أصول السنة، من أصول الاعتقاد، الإقرار برؤية الله جل وعلا بعد الموت. وهذه المسألة لها فروع كثيرة. تفضل. نعم.
So thereafter, he speaks about the issue seeing Allah Ta'ala, he mentioned with the Quran and affirming that Allah shall be seen to death. So therefore, he transitioned to speak about this issue of the seeing of Allah Azawajal after we die.
يُرَى يَقَظَةً في الدنيا، فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد جاء عنه في الحديث إنكم لن تروا ربكم حتى تموتوا. نعم.
He says, so therefore, this means by way of it that Allah Ta'ala should not be seen in a state of wakefulness while one is in the dunya. The Prophet Muhammad said, alayhi wasalam, that you will not see your Lord until after you pass away.
القاعدة المطلقة لم يرى أحد من البشر ربه جل وعلا، لا نبي الله آدم ولا موسى، بل إن موسى لما طلب ذلك قال له الله جل وعلا لن تراني، ولا نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولذلك قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها من حدثكم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى ربه فقد أعظم على الله الفريح. نعم. طيب.
So therefore, it's not for it's the principle with us that it is not for a human being to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he is alive in the dunya. None has ever seen him. Neither Adam alayhi salam nor Musa. When Musa he requested this, Allah ta'ala said to him in response, You will not see me. And likewise, our Prophet alayhi salam as well did not see him. Due to this, Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned that if anyone says to you that he saw Allah, he has committed an enormity against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فقد تضافرت الأدلة من الكتاب والسنة على رؤية الله جل وعلا، من ذلك قوله سبحانه وتعالى وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة، هذا دليل واضح وصريح إلى ربها، وتعدى النظر هنا بإلى، فمراد به رؤية العين. نعم.
So there are many proofs that have come in the book and the sunnah indicating that the people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after death. From them is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, faces on that day shall be bright and radiant, looking at their Lord. It's a clear-cut evidence wherein Allah Ta'ala mentions they will be looking at their Lord, showing that this looking is the looking that will take place with the eyes.
قول الله جل وعلا عن أهل الكفر كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون، فإذا هم حجبوا دل ذلك على أن أهل الإيمان يرونه يوم القيامة جل وعلا. نعم.
So likewise, Allah Ta'ala mentions in repudiation of the kuffar, saying that they should be veiled from seeing at their Lord. So then, being veiled from seeing Allah Azza wa Jalla is an indication that the people of Iman, they shall see Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala.
إن نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أوضح بما لا جدال فيه ولا غموض فيه أن أهل الإيمان يرون ربهم جل وعلا يوم القيامة، فقال إنكم سترون ربكم يوم القيامة، جاء في رواية لا تضامون في رؤيته أو لا تضامون في رؤيته، وقال كالبدر ليس دونه سحاب أو كالشمس، وهذا تشبيه للرؤية بالرؤية يعني في الوضوح والظهور، وهذا أيضا نص قاطع ظاهر صريح في ذلك. نعم.
Likewise, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned to us evidences that are clear and irrefutable and cannot be argued with. For he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you will indeed see your Lord on the day of judgment. In another narration, he mentions you will not have to push and crowd each other to do so. In some narrations, he mentions that you will see him like you see the full moon on a full moon night, like you see the sun. This is tashbih ruya bi ruya, like you are comparing two acts of seeing one to another. Not comparing two things that I've seen.
جل وعلا هي أعلى النعيم في الجنة بهذا الأمر، فسر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قول الله جل وعلا للذين أحسنوا الحسنى وزيادة، الحسنى هي الجنة والزيادة هي رؤية الله جل وعلا فيها. نعم.
And the seeing of Allah Ta'ala in Jannah, it is the greatest joy of paradise. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he provided us details to this and explained it when he mentioned statement of Allah Ta'ala, for those who have done well, there is al-husna wa ziyada. There's something good and something in addition to it. And that husna, it is paradise itself. And ziyada is the seeing of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala.
الجنة وأن يرزقنا رؤيته فيها سبحانه وتعالى، ونقف على هذا إن شاء الله ونكمل في اللقاء القادم، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
The Sheikh, he said that we're going to stop here. I'll suffice for this amount for tonight. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us paradise. To grant us the seeing of him in the Jannah. May he include us in the salawat, the salamat of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, and his companions.